Webcasting to the world, live, the good news of God's righteousness for all humanity. This is the Gospel Revolution Radio Network. Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein Online. It's hump day, Wednesday, November 26, 2008. The only third night of the fall pledge drive for the Gospel Revolution 2008 ever. Welcome in on this midweek edition of Glenn Klein Online. Glad to have you along wherever you are listening, whenever you are listening, because we know a lot of you beautiful humans do listen on the archive. But for those of you that are listening live, and it's at the top of the hour, wherever around the world you are listening, we are inviting you to join us tonight by calling the Glenn Klein Online toll-free hotline at 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260. The phone lines are already ringing, so we're off to a very quick start, much better than last week when our expert co-host, Michael Williams, was tardy. But we have a saying in religion called repentance, and repentance, ladies and gentlemen, is misrepresented, of course, in the cult of Christianity. I saw it again with my old friend Sid Roth on his television show, It's Supernatural, two nights ago, or it might have been last night, where he talked about repentance literally by changing your behavior towards God. And I wanted to reach into the television screen and wring my wonderful friend Sid's neck. But repentance actually means to change your mind, or even to open your mind, we learned at the Gospel Revolution Convention that commenced 3 weeks ago tonight. But as far as Christianity is concerned, repentance literally means to change your behavior. And Michael was a little bit tardy last week, for those of you that were listening or have listened, know. And he more than made up for it this week by calling in an hour earlier than we normally start. And so, Michael, you're good to go.
Paranoia strikes the deep.
Well, I'm at the official Glenn Klein Online Studios in Tampa Bay, Florida, with Sean O'Halloran, Joe Klein, waiting to take your calls at 800-436-3260. And your pledges, we'll talk about that momentarily. But tonight, Michael is actually in an undisclosed location. And how is your undisclosed Thanksgiving going so far?
It is going wonderfully undisclosed.
You're having a good time?
It is. I am having a good time, enjoying myself and some friends. So I think it's going to be a good one.
I know it's going to be a good one. We come to you once a quarter, beautiful humans, and ask for your financial help. Ironically, we're doing it right at the same time that the Christian world is asking for financial help. And if you've been watching any of the Christian programming that is broadcasting around the world, you know what kind of lunacy is being broadcast throughout the planet right now. And, it is somewhat ironic that here we are asking for financial help at the same time as well, except we're not promising any healings or any marital reconciliation. Michael, we're not promising anything except maybe a warm feeling in one's heart by participating financially in this effort known as the Gospel Revolution.
Yeah, and the experience of knowing that you really are a part of something that that I totally believe is in well into the process of making major change in this world. You know, change when it begins, it can begin in a watershed type situation, and boy, once it starts, it's a domino effect. So many things that we could say about it. I mean, when you talk about, I remember the fall of communism, and how that in the fall nobody was thinking about the fall of communism, and then by October and November and then December, and it was all over with. And it happened in a flash. And I remember in my own heart being inspired that was the comparison that I was to make about religion and its stand, even with where I was at the time, knowing that the gospel of grace and peace were truly the gospel, and in all situations needed to literally invade all belief systems. You know, I don't necessarily want to try to get the gospel to replace all of these belief systems, just invade them, because I believe that the gospel wins hands down in all areas of logic, spirituality, any kind of appeal to the heart, because I believe it fits in the heart. So we just want a voice. We want the voice and to be able to speak into people's lives. And that's a part of what people can understand, that as they are giving and supporting what we're doing, we can do that. I just got a letter from my friends in Ireland reminding me of my visit there 12 years ago. And they said that they had several people who were not old enough to remember my visit.
Right.
There 12 years ago, and how that they were so excited about what they were hearing, and they were meeting together in the living room there in Ireland, and I, you know, and they're inviting me to come back. They want me to come back. Well, I want to go back. We had such a profound impact on Northern Ireland with one visit, and the seeds of that are still going.
Yeah, that was Adam Harbinson in Ireland.
Yeah,
that literally, and his letter from Ireland said that people have been listening to the webcast, have been listening to the free available teachings on gospelrevolution.com and Gospel Logic, and what a dramatic impact it was having in the nation of Ireland. And here's this is one of the great ironies about what we do, Michael, is that we really don't desire change. That the point and the focus of Christianity is to change lives. We don't, that's not our goal, ladies and gentlemen. That is not why we're asking you to contribute to the fall pledge drive of the Gospel Revolution. All we want to do is proclaim the reality. All we want to do is be able to tell the story of how God views humanity. We have decided, I think wisely so, that any change is going to happen organically through the process of what the Bible calls salvation. And there's no rhyme or reason. The gospel getting in, Michael, to somebody's heart may cause a divorce to transpire. It may cause children to rebel from their parents. It may cause for people who aren't married to have sexual relations with each other.
It may cause just the opposite. It may cause
the
divorce
that's
in the process to stop. It may cause somebody who's got a drinking problem to quit. It may cause somebody who's addicted to pornography to suddenly lose that desire. And I love that point, Glenn. That's the thing, is that the gospel embraces you where you are. This is not about you embracing the gospel. It's about you allowing the gospel to embrace you. And that's where all of religion has gotten off track, is they've turned truth on its head, and that you have to reach out and embrace truth. You have to reach out and embrace Jesus. You have to accept Him. You have to have faith. You've got to believe. You've got to embrace the gospel. And we're not even, I don't even care to tell people to embrace the gospel. My focus is let the gospel embrace you. And let the gospel figure out where your heart is. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Now, that's exactly like, a situation where even a mechanic takes a car on a road test to figure out, okay, let's see what we're dealing with here and what needs to be done with this machine. Well, that's what the gospel does with the heart. And a heart that has been restricted may need freedom to be able to say and to experience and say, hey, wow, you know what? For the first time in my life, I walked in a bar and I took a drink and I didn't feel guilty. And some people that's been going to the bar all their life need the experience of saying, hey, I'm not compelled to have to go to the bar tonight. And that's what's so powerful about the gospel, is exactly your point, is that it but here's the thing, and I want to really emphasize this. We are not asking people to embrace the gospel, nor to support our ability to get people to embrace the gospel, but to help people to allow the gospel to embrace them, and their support is going so that we can do that, so that we can bring that good news, and that, you know, and it's just that bottom line. I mean, there's so many situations that we have around the world right now. I could go to Hong Kong and have an awesome meeting right now, and to Ireland, and be a support to these people. I believe that my role is more and more taking on supporting those who are sharing the gospel, even more than trying to get it out myself, because that it's been really strange over the years to watch that happen, and to watch my role quickly change from being the person that is in the area that is sharing the gospel to being the person that is there in the area to help support those who are sharing the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. I mean, I literally see my teaching gift as a support to those who are sharing the gospel. If you stop and think about it, most everyone who came to the convention, and I'd say everyone, are people who weren't there to hear the gospel for the first time. They were all people who share the gospel.
Yep.
And it's my job, Glenn, this is just becoming so very clear to me, that my role is a support role. It's not even to be the one who shares the gospel, but to support those who do. And believe me, I am so very, very comfortable with that position, and I love doing it. So when people are contributing, you are making it possible. When I went to Ireland the first time, it was people who, which that impact now has been going on for 12 years. It has never died.
Mm.
We've got a generation now living who weren't even old enough to remember that I was there, who are listening now because of our friends there, who amazingly embraced the gospel and have gone through tragedies and all kinds of situations, and have come out stronger because they allowed the gospel to embrace them.
Exactly. And if there's one thing that we learned at the convention in Houston 3 weeks ago, was that there is no dearth of people who are equipped and prepared to share this thing. When you guys get your CD series from the convention that is available on the GospelRevolution.com webpage, you are going to hear a score of people, more than 20 people, sharing from their heart. Everybody who was on microphone at all at the convention is on the CD series. And we learned that the Gospel Revolution does not need to go outside of our effort, of our group, to have incredible insight. And we are talking about people from all over the planet. And this is just the organizing tool. This is just, as Michael says, the support mechanism that allows people to know that were out there. The difference coming out of the convention, of having hugged on these people and eaten with these people and had a drink with these people and laughed with these people and seen them first thing in the morning and last thing at night, for years, Michael, people have been saying to us, where can we go? Where's the church? Where's the organization? Well, the new wine will not be held by the old wineskin, folks. We are pretty well confident to be able to say that. But there is an effort out there. There is a mechanism, if I can use that word again, in which people that are like-minded know where they can come to. They know they can log on to GospelRevolution.com and GlennKleinOnline.com every week, hear fresh insight, have an opportunity to be heard, and to know that there are people literally around the planet that actually think the way they do. they don't think that they're nuts. They don't think that they are heretics in the meaning of the church. We know that heretics just means to think for yourself, but which we embrace and which we enjoy. But as far as being labeled as a heretic by the church community, that's tough to hear sometimes when you're out there by yourself. You're not out there by yourself anymore. There is a large and growing group of humanity, whether it be in Ireland or in Canada or all over the United States or in China or in Australia or in Hawaii. It doesn't make a difference where the location is. There are people who are growing in their understanding of God's love for all humanity. That's why we're here every week. That's why we're here 24/7 at gospelrevolution.com. That's why we're asking you to participate in night number 3 of the Gospel Revolution Fall Pledge Drive, and it's very simple to do. We've got some of our regular contributors scheduled to meet with us. We've got somebody online right now that wants to talk with us and that we want to hear from. But we have got to hear from people that we normally do not hear from, people who are benefiting and are enjoying the process, and all we're asking is for $10. $10 a month, a pledge of that. If everybody who's been touched by this message would step up and say, you know what, I'm going to do that, we could shut this thing down right now as far as the fundraising drive and just continue talking about the wonderful love of God. All you got to do is go to gospelrevolution.com, click on donations, and then do your best. We're asking for at least $10 a month. If you only can give $10 one time, don't think that that's too little or that's not going to help. Michael, people don't understand that if everybody would just give $5, we could roll this thing up and be done and just continue talking about the love of God. Every little bit helps, but what we're asking people to consider in their heart doing is $10 a month as far as a pledge is concerned. All you do is go to gospelrevolution.com, click on donations, either make your one-time gift or make your monthly pledge on the site there, and then email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com and let us know what you did. We're inviting you to call tonight at 1-800-436-3260 if you're listening live. We know that most people do listen on the archive. So when you make your donation, please email us so we can count it in towards our goal of $17,500, which will help, and I emphasize just help, pay the bills for the next quarter of the year. 1-800-436-3260 if you're listening live, or if you are listening live and don't want to talk and you just want to be recognized or let us know to conclude your gift in our goal, webcast@gospelrevolution.com. If you're listening on the archive, let us know what you've done at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Right now, we sit at right around $4,600, $4,620 to be exact. We got a $700 donation from Victor Brennan up there in Calgary. That's going to be put towards our conference in Canada this next spring. We had a really good finish to the webcast last week, not least of which was from our leader of the music at the convention, and I hope he's already put the dates for next year's convention on his calendar, but he's also our Gospel Revolution correspondent from Cincinnati, Ohio, online with us, Mr. Greg Amberger. Gregory!
Hey, Glenn, Mike, how's it going?
Good, buddy. How's it going in Ohio?
I'm very excited about the Irish, because although my name's German, my father's German, everybody else in my family's Irish.
You look
all
a little Irish.
My side of the family, so.
You got a bunch of Jewish Irish out there.
Yeah.
That's a good combination right there, my friend.
That's right.
What's going on in Cincy tonight? How's the weather out there, first of all?
It's not bad. And this is my excuse to get away from preparing the house for the big, huge feast tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
My wife is feverishly working away. And
I bet you won't try to get away tomorrow, will you?
Did you hear what he said, Michael? I mean, Gregory?
No.
He said, I bet you won't try to get away tomorrow.
No, I'll be right there tomorrow as soon as the food's ready.
Well, Greg and Debbie Amberger, who is feverishly preparing tomorrow's feast at the Ambergies, were both featured at the convention a lot. And it's been 3 weeks. It's hard to believe, Greg, that it's been 3 weeks. And Have you had the sense coming out of the conventions, the sense of just confidence and the enhanced realization of what we've been taught and what we believe is so solid and is so important right now to be shared with people in our lives and around the planet?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's the convention just seemed to I don't know, it just really encouraged me. I left there all just fired up because there were so many people from all over the world. I mean, literally all over the world. I mean, Li Lao, and you know, it's amazing how far he came for that convention.
Yeah, and Kim and Arlene Baker coming from Hawaii, and of course, all the people from Canada, people from all over the United States. Michael, we have friends literally on every continent, and this message cannot be contained. I mean, it's just blossoming, and as the message is getting out there more and more, it makes the cult of Christianity, as Carlton calls it, look more and more ridiculous.
Yeah, and you know, this is something that people are coming to grips with on their own. As they are embraced by the gospel, they are able to stop embracing Christianity. And man, I tell you what, you've got to leave one lover and cling to the other, you know. It really has. It is the gospel makes it so easy, because everything that you believe about Jesus as a Christian, that he is the Son of God, that he is born of a virgin, that he is the Redeemer of the world, that he came to this world in the form of a man as God and man, and that he died on a cross, he lived, breathed, and taught for 3 years, and then rose from the dead, and is seated at the right hand of God, constantly presenting us as righteous and holy before God. All of those things that Christianity teaches, the gospel does teach. The gospel reveals. So it is so easy to let go of Christianity. It is very difficult sometimes at first for people to begin to realize there is a major difference between the gospel and Christianity. Christianity is not the gospel. The gospel is not Christianity. And we had that discussion on the stage about Christianity there with Carlton Pearson. And but here are the things, and that seems to be the thing that I'm most apt to do, is to be able to draw those comparisons so that people can see all of these issues for what they are, so that they can with a reasonable amount of logic be able to embrace one and let go of the other. I think it'd be awesome that everybody who's a Christian could let go of Christianity and let the gospel embrace them. The gospel is not something that you have to hold on to. The gospel is something that holds on to you.
Yes.
And all of that, that's the reason that there is no effort in this spirituality. You don't have to do something. You don't have to dress a certain way, act a certain way, talk a certain way. In fact, the glory of it is that we all speak the same gospel, but we all act completely different.
Yes.
I remember being even in the Word of Faith movement, as Greg will attest to in this, is that all of the people who became teachers acted, breathed, preached, and taught just like the people who taught them. Everybody who was listened to Copeland preached and taught just like Copeland.
Yeah, it's amazing. Here's Creflo Dollar, who's an African-American guy, just sounding exactly like Kenneth Copeland, you know, a Texas cracker.
And Taffy, his wife, sounds exactly like Gloria.
And then I remember watching Jimmy Swaggart's son, whose name escapes me at the moment. And Jimmy Swaggart has a nervous twitch. It's a tick, you know, that he does. And his son has the same tick even.
Yeah.
I hope he doesn't have the same tendency of spending his off hours as his dad. But even things like, I mean, because you cannot help by being influenced by the people that you hang around. And if you're hanging around Christian zealots and people that are immersed in legalism and results-oriented religion, you are going to act like them. And it's a very, very strange place to live. But one of the things, fellas, that was so cool to see about the convention is you had this disparate group of human beings coming from all over the world that were very different. I mean, we had doctors, we had lawyers, we had executives, we had blue-collar workers, we had people that were retired. And in a normal or in any church setting, a lot of those people would have been kept at arm's length because they were different than what we were used to hanging around. I mean, we had people that were literally walking around with their laptops. We had people that were dressed in all kinds of different garb. We had people that were had suits and dresses. We had people in T-shirts. But, Gregory, there was no sense of condemnation or judgment. And everybody was embraced because we knew and we know how God views them. And if God Almighty views us as blameless and spotless and perfect in His sight, certainly, we can give room to for people to behave and act. And what happened there is that people were able to shine and people were able to come and share from their heart that normally would never get in front of a group of people, especially in a church where they may be judged and, you know, this might not have been said quite perfectly enough. And here was Carlton Pearson, a man of African-American heritage, who had some outrageous things to say, even as far as we're concerned, and he was embraced and just as welcome as anybody else because we know how God views him. I mean, it was just beautiful to experience.
It was beautiful. And I wanted to read something that I wrote this down that Mike said this week, talking about what he was talking about the kingdom of God embracing us. He said, in the kingdom of God, the issue is not who is right and wrong. The issue is who is righteous and by what means. And who is righteous is all of us. And by the means of Jesus Christ and what he did for us at the cross. And it breaks down every barrier. I don't know if you've heard yet about the terrorist attacks in India today. But I've really become friends with a Hindu, one of my customers, and he's from India, and I called him as soon as it started, you know, tonight, and just expressed my outrage and my sorrow and everything for what was going on over there, and you know, and normally I don't think I would become as close friends as I have with this guy with a Hindu, you know what I mean?
You mean previously when you were a praise and worship leader,
but
when you were a church leader?
The first time we went out to lunch, I was kind of telling him a little bit of what I believe, and you know, he was obviously a little aback at somebody who believed in Jesus, taken aback, you know, but because he always felt like they were trying to convert him, and I said, well, I'm not trying to convert you. I believe you're just as righteous before God as I am. And after that, man, there was no wall between us, and we've become really close friends. And
that's the thing, Michael, is that there literally is no wall between us. Any wall that is put up by us. As far as God is concerned, and this is, you'll hear this, ladies and gentlemen, on the CD series from the convention. But Michael has gone back and forth with our brothers and sisters in the preterist movement, the movement that says that something had to be fulfilled still after the cross, which was the destruction of the temple. And we really struggled with some of those scriptures and some of the prophecies of Jesus, and it came out of your mouth at the convention. I was sitting there, I was like, there it is. And you said, when that curtain was torn asunder, when it was rent in two, and there was no division between God and humanity anymore, that there was no division between Jew and Gentile anymore, that we were, that one new man had come together, that the temple ceased to be functional. As far as God was concerned, that is when the temple was destroyed. At that earthquake, at that momentous moment.
Absolutely. And Glenn,
go ahead.
I'll bet you the very next day there was a religious person trying to sew that curtain right back together.
No doubt.
I bet they did put that religion back together as quickly as they could. But, Michael, as far as the Almighty was concerned, that function of the synagogue, of the temple there, rather, in Jerusalem, where God TV right now, the latest version of Christian television with Rory and Wendy, I can't think of their last name right now, but they're the latest, Jan and Paul, this young hip couple. They're broadcasting from the Mount of Olives in an attempt to get people to think that by they're donating to a place that's broadcasting from the Mount of Olives, that somehow they're going to be especially blessed. But let us say, without fear of any contradiction or divisiveness at all, that when Jesus died on the cross, that is when all the scripture was fulfilled. You can't get blessed anymore than knowing that Jesus has fulfilled the entire book and has fulfilled the entire scriptural tenets. Don't give to people, folks, because they tell you that God's got a special blessing for you. It's a lie. It's a flat-out shameful deception. When we're asking you to participate financially, we're not holding out any hope for any financial breakthrough or whatever in your life because you give. We're just asking you to do whatever's in your heart. And we got this email from East Peoria, Illinois. This just came in from David Castle. And he said, thank you so much, you guys. I see the truth. And that encapsulates such a wonderful understanding, is that we're just presenting Jesus, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And when people finally have their eyes opened up to the truth, there's no going back. I mean, you don't have, I mean, you talk about giving up on Christianity. Christianity gave up on you a long time ago when it raised the standard higher above than what is humanly possible. That's, Michael, that's why Jesus came teaching the law the way he did, which was to give people no hope at all that our behavior or even our thought patterns could possibly incur God's wrath or incur God's favor. It all had to be through the sacrifice of Christ.
Well, I think that the thing, because Christianity does not embrace what the scriptures are, what Christianity is a mixture of the reality of who Jesus is and what he did, and a mixture of his teachings in with that. And if you mix the teachings of Christ, which Hebrews tells us clearly that we should move on from the doctrines of Christ and walk on into the perfection that we've already been granted.
Yes.
And leave behind the doctrines, and it lists the doctrines. And one is eternal damnation. That to never, ever teach any such thing as eternal damnation ever again. Faith toward God. Stop teaching about faith toward God. What did Jesus do? He taught about faith toward God. Don't ever teach about baptisms or washings anymore. Why? Because all of this was fulfilled. But Christianity is this bizarre mixture of the reality of the cross, the historical reality of the cross, and their attempt to embrace that while they embrace the teachings of Jesus at the same time. When the teachings of Jesus were designed primarily to cause you to let go of the law. So to embrace the teachings of Jesus as that I'm trying to live by this. One of the strangest things that I finally realized, guys, several years ago, was that every religion on earth teaches that Jesus was a great teacher.
Yes.
They all do. I don't care whether it's the Jewish community, Hindus, it doesn't make any difference if it's Muslim. They all agree he was a great teacher. Why? Because he taught the law. And all of their religions are based in the law. And they man, when he says, when he makes all of these comments, you know, about about the issues of adultery, and it's even if you think about it. But see, they're so condemned by the law already, they have to embrace the teachings of Jesus because it's even more extringent than what the people believed or understood the law to ever be by any of their teachers or any even any of the Jewish teachers. No one taught the law to its heart and hardcore intent until Jesus came along and taught it exclusively. Now, what you have in Christianity is a mixture of the Messiah. First off, before he fulfilled his mission as the Messiah, he fulfilled his mission as the teacher. And he taught the law so good, so well, that if we would listen to it, we could let go of it. He didn't teach it so that we would know how to keep it. He taught it so we'd know how to let go of it. And instead, Christianity mixes the completed work of the cross and the teachings of Jesus together and comes up with so many thousands of denominations because you have to decide which ones. Please listen to this. You cannot keep any of the teachings of Jesus, so you have to pick out one or two that you build a doctrine on and build a denomination on, just like the Word of Faith movement did. We built all of our belief system on Mark 11:22, 23, and 24. And even that, you can't do that. Jesus wasn't teaching how this is how faith works. He was teaching, if you're going to do it, this is what it would look like. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to a mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. How in God's name did we get use faith and start speaking things and make everything in our life change by faith toward God when Jesus said, if you had any faith at all, you would be able to move a mountain? Well, the lesson from that is not how to practice faith. It is that you ain't gotten enough, and you never will. Let faith embrace you instead of trying to use your faith to embrace God.
And that is the subject, ladies and gentlemen, of the thank you CD that you will receive for gifts totaling $100 or more for this fall pledge drive of the Gospel Revolution. The topic is freed from your own faith. And so many people say, Michael, that it's their faith that has been their salvation, when it is their faith that is their very undoing.
Absolutely.
What is the difference between somebody who says they have faith and people who say that they see the faith of Christ? Not faith in Christ, but the faith of Christ. It seems like it's just two little letters. The difference between OF and IN. And yet there is a chasm, there is a galaxy of difference between understanding the faith of Christ and faith in Christ.
Well, the difference is fake and phony are real and alive. That's the difference. If you think that your faith has brought you reconciliation with God, you are a fake and a phony. Because it can't. You know it's not good enough. All of those years that I was believing, my gosh, the nights. I worked this out in my head as a child when my mom sent me to vacation Bible school and they told me that all I had to do was believe. Well, that was supposed to be a really nice thing, but once I believed, then the Baptist told me that if I didn't change all my ways, I hadn't really believed anyway. So the qualification for believing was changing. And if I hadn't changed, if I did anything that I used to do before I exercised my faith for my redemption, that canceled out the reality that I ever had any faith at all.
Right.
I went to bed every night. My gosh, how many times? Every night I started all over again. I would ask Jesus into my heart all over again. I would start all over again. I'd repent and cry and pray because I couldn't get it right. I couldn't do it right. I might have been able to get around a bunch of religious people and act just as religious as they were, But in my quiet times, in my bed by myself, in my room, in my home, I was tormented because I knew that I didn't have what it took as far as faith was concerned. And I would go through the rehearsal. I would rehearse what it was that I was supposed to believe. That's the reason the Catholics repeat the Apostles' Creed all the time. That's the reason people are constantly repeating and rehearsing what their faith is, because they can't, they've got to try to make that a reality. And the awesome thing about the gospel is it is reality. You don't have to make it a reality. It's not your faith that is trying to produce anything. It is faith that has embraced you, not your faith that has embraced God.
This is Glenn Klein online. We've got Michael Williams, president and founder of the Gospel Revolution, calling us from an undisclosed location tonight. Greg Amberge, the leader of the Gospel Revolution Music, as well as our Cincinnati, Ohio Gospel Revolution correspondent online. We've got a line available for you. We've got to get to the phone lines working, folks. Come on, give us a call. If you're listening live, we need some help tonight. This is the third and final night of the Spring Pledge Drive. We've got the week to go. And we know that a lot of folks, even most of the folks, listen on the archives, but we'd love to hear from you tonight. We've got the phone line available at 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260. All you do is go to Gospel Revolution, click on donation, and make either a one-time or a monthly pledge. And for gifts totaling $100 or more, whether it be in the one-time gift or over the course of the year, for $100 or more, you will receive free and postage paid, the brand new teaching CD on being freed from your own faith. And Greg, I'll tell you something. I was talking with Abraham Mackey yesterday, who we hope to hear from later on in the webcast, about the difference. You don't realize how bound up and how constrained you are in living when you are in religion, when you are in Christianity or legalism, until you're out. And it's not necessarily an easy process. And what, a lot of times, especially for those of us who were in it for a long time, when you consider the amount of money and the amount of time and the sweat and the tears and the groanings and the desire to please that has left an emotional scar, sometimes it takes... Well, I would say it this way. I mean, Michael and I have been in this together now for the better part of 15 years, and we're still coming out of it. And it's, you know, it took 40 years for the children of Israel to come out of Egyptian bondage into the land of flowing with milk and honey. They just kept circling around and around and around in the same direction. But the process of salvation is a healthy one. And, you know, you and Debbie are experiencing it, but we can't encourage people enough to stay focused in on this, because the salvation process is a process. When people put this stuff aside and don't contemplate it, they're living their lives. They may know that they're not condemned by God and may know that everybody has been made righteous, but it doesn't have the effect on one's heart and emotions that it could if you stay focused and involved.
Right, and one thing I want to say before I leave, my friend Tom sent me a text message this morning with a picture of a new book out called The Complete Idiot's Guide to the Last Days. And we had the best laugh about that. I'm sorry, that's my cell phone going off. I should have turned that off. But we had the best laugh about that because you know, we were so bound up in things, in worrying about the last days, and, you know, is this guy the Antichrist? All those kinds of things when we were growing up, and it was so freeing to just have a hysterical laugh at something like that. You know, the Complete Idiot's Guide to the Last Days. He told me he bought it for me, and he's coming to my house for Thanksgiving tomorrow, so we'll see. For you in Ireland, Thanksgiving is our national day of
gluttony. It's our national day of gluttony.
It's our national day of gluttony, exactly. So I'll let you guys go, and just thanks for all you do.
Well, Gregory, we're thankful for you, and thanks for participating, and give Debbie a squeeze for us, and have a great time tomorrow.
Okay, we will.
All right, that's Greg Amberge from Cincinnati, Ohio, and, you know, Greg's been participating actively probably in the last, I don't know, 6 or 8 months. And here, Michael, he comes to Houston for the convention to lead our music. And we get together with him and Debbie, his wife. They put together a band of about five or six guys. And the amazing thing about this gospel, when you put aside all preconditions and all prejudgments, or prejudiced, we could call it, what's left are just a bunch of really nice people who are not judging each other and not judging themselves, and they're actually finding the security in something other than the way that they perform in their life. That makes for a healthier lifestyle, a healthier community, and a healthier planet, ultimately, we believe.
Yes, absolutely, regardless of whether your situation changes or not. And we're always grateful for situations, whether they be health or financial or relationship, to work out and, have a good ending. Everybody loves a fairy tale ending to a story. But the thing of it is that the gospel helps you deal with it when it's not a fairy tale ending. I think that's one of the greatest disappointments of realizing what I taught for so many years, that the only option for it to be a victory was a fairy tale ending, and they all lived happily ever after. And that left everyone whose story did not end that way to have to come up with a lie, or also to feel condemned and feel guilty because they had failed to achieve this goal of happily ever after.
Happily ever after, defined by some people who are very emotionally unstable. I was thinking about this last night, as I talked about earlier, that it's Christian television's time for their pledge drives. I guess the pre-holiday time is the time to hit people up. We do it every quarter, as you know, and without any judgment or any condemnation. But I was watching one of our early legalists of the week, Ed Young, who's got a thriving ministry, I think in Texas. But young, hip guy, young people in the audience and the congregation. And he was teaching on Joseph running from Potiphar's wife and not falling into sexual immorality. And he was preaching hard against sexual immorality, against staying pure, against having that be the storybook ending. And I thought to myself, as he was standing there in his very hip, tight blue jeans and looking very hip himself, thinking, God, that guy must be fighting and battling that so desperately in his life. If there's one thing we know, Michael, is when a teacher or a preacher is preaching hard against a particular issue in their lives, they are teaching or trying to preach it out of their own lives. And we saw that with our friend Ted Haggard, who was the nationwide sponsor and spokesman coming against gay rights and gay equality in Colorado Springs. We know the story about that, him being caught with a gay massage therapist, with the whole drug thing. When somebody is coming hard against something in their lives and has a public forum to do it, you can almost guarantee that's what they're struggling with. And ironically, they don't need to be struggling with it. They just can kick back and realize that no matter what happens, they're righteous with God. And as you've told so many times, your story about going into bookstores and being just like a magnet to metal, being attracted to magazines, when you realize that you can look at all the magazines you want, it loses its attractiveness. It loses its pull over you.
Yeah, it really ruined a lot of sensual times for me. that which is forbidden is irresistible. And I tell you what, once nothing is forbidden, it's resistible, and you don't even it's not an effort. I know that we repeat that story a lot of times, but for me personally, the effect of the gospel in my heart was very profound in every area of my life, and continues to be so, and continues to do so. But for it to defuse obsessive nature toward sexual things,
was just amazing to me. And to literally come to a place in life to where that you know that your decisions are your decisions and your conduct is by your choice, not because you're driven. And
not because you're being controlled by the devil. And that somehow the power and the anointing has leaked out of your life. When you realize that God is with you no matter what, 100% in you, never leaves, the power of God never wanes in your life. The things that you cease to struggle with them, they're not a struggle anymore. They're just who you are.
Absolutely.
And you come to a place of self-acceptance because, let me tell you something, if God accepts you, who are you not to accept yourself? What gives you the right? What gives you the authority? If God Almighty has judged you as holy and righteous and perfect and without sin, always, 100% of the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, who are you to quibble with that?
Yeah, who are we to reject the judgment of God? God's judgment has come down. The verdict is in. You are righteous and holy. And people talk about the judgment of God. Well, the world has rejected the judgment of God. The judgment of God came rolling down, you know, like thunder from the skies. And that judgment has been rendered, and the verdict is in. And the entire planet has rejected the judgment of God. The judgment of God is not coming. The judgment of God has already come. And just the same as it was not the way they expected the Messiah to come, the judgment didn't come the way they expected it either.
Exactly.
Because the judgment was innocent. You know, the term judgment means verdict. And it doesn't mean punishment. Hardly in any case, even in the Bible, and much less the Scriptures. But it's the term verdict, that the verdict was going to come in. There's a verdict coming. The verdict of God is about to happen. The verdict of God is coming. The verdict of God is on its way. The prophets foretold. There is a verdict coming. There is a verdict coming. There is a verdict coming. And it said that he would bring about that verdict with justice, and it would that verdict would spread across the earth as the waters cover the sea. It's the prophets foretold that the verdict, the judgment, which means verdict, the verdict would come in, and it would touch every human being on the face of planet Earth. The verdict came in, and the world has rejected it because of Christianity. Christianity has taken the gospel and perverted it so profusely, from Catholicism to every branch of Protestantism and every branch of Catholicism, and has caused people to be blinded to the reality of the gospel. And that is the mission that I have. That's the mission that we have. That's the mission that everybody who was at the convention has. And that is to separate that for people and give them an honest look of the verdict. I believe in the judgment of God. I believe in it more than John Hagee does. But see, John Hagee has rejected the judgment of God.
Yes.
And Jack Van Impe has rejected the judgment of God. The verdict is in, and they're still going around accusing people.
Yes.
They reject the verdict of God.
Yes.
The verdict is in. We share the gospel, but we share it from a verdict that has come, not a verdict that we're waiting for and wondering what the verdict might be. What doubt and unbelief has Christianity spread around the earth, and Catholicism has spread around the earth pertaining to the work of Jesus Christ. The verdict is in. The prophets foretold. The verdict is coming. The verdict is coming. The verdict will come and declare the reality and the truth. And we got the verdict, Glenn. Innocent. Perfect. Righteous. Holy. Without fault. And without blame in the eyes of God, the verdict is in.
Wow. Yeah, the verdict is in, ladies and gentlemen. For us to be waiting for the jury to come back with the decision, you're twiddling your thumbs. You're wasting your time. The judge has already opened up the envelope and said not guilty.
Yeah.
Put the guilty verdict that was a legitimate, you could make a very strong case for humanity being guilty, but for some reason God chose to take the punishment himself and to render the verdict to humanity as not guilty. And that's exactly right. Christianity, this is why Christianity is so dangerous. It's more dangerous than Islam. It's more dangerous than Hinduism or Buddhism or Mormonism or Judaism. It is because it is a perversion. They call us perverts because we think naturally about the sexual experience, the kind of thoughts that God put in our hearts and in our minds to procreate and to express our affection and our love and our passion for one for another, regardless of who it's with. They call that perverts? No, they're perverts because they are perverting the truth. They're not perverts as far as God is concerned. They're perverts as far as society is concerned. The problem in the United States is not with the fact that a judge in Florida today ruled that gay and lesbian people can adopt children. This happened today in Florida. A judge said that two gay men can adopt two foster children. Oh my God, the society is coming apart. This is the perverts are taking, no. The challenge and the threat to American society and to culture in general is through the perversion of the grace of God. To mix the blood of animals with the pure blood of Jesus Christ. That's the perversion, Michael. That's the danger. That's what we have to warn against. And yet, we know that, as you talked about at the convention, you've talked about on the show many times, that we are the ultimate eternal optimist. Because we know what happened to those victims of the terrorist attacks today in India. And we know what's right. going to be the result of the terrorists that are, at least to our knowledge as we went on the air, are still holding people hostage when they breathe their last breath. That the people that were killed and the people that did the murdering today in India have all been covered by the blood of Yeshua, by the blood of salvation, by the not guilty verdict of the judge. All judgment was given to Jesus. And he said, Michael, that he would never judge anyone.
Absolutely.
Incredible.
Yeah, and the, you know, just try to insert the gospel into that situation. Not that all of those people would embrace Jesus, or that they would embrace the truth, but what if they were in a situation where that they were able to allow the gospel to embrace them? Whether those that were sitting innocently in their chairs having dinner, or those who plotted this attack. What if the revelation that they were all equal had been there? Now we can look at it now, and the only thing that Mike and Glenn can do on the show is assure everybody that they're all in the same place. But you see, that's the reason we're going through this pledge drive. We want them to know it before the tragedy.
Yes.
Not to have to sit back and try to tell everybody that all of these people wound up in heaven. That's not good enough for me. I want to get to these people before the tragedy hits, before the next horrible, because of the division of the law. This is all division of the law.
Yep.
That's all it is.
Yep.
And that's it creates hostility. And Paul made it very clear that the hostility between two people or two groups of people is the law. And that hostility is created and that it's going to be carried out. So the to be able to have the voice, because I know what I know, and everybody else on this planet knows, that if those people involved would have seen themselves as equals, this would have never happened. Mm-hmm. It would have never happened. No possible way that it could have possibly happened, because they would have been able to see that they were doing this to themselves.
Well, this is what we're involved in, folks. I mean, to stand up and to be able to say with all confidence that all people, no matter what they're teaching, no matter what they're involved in, are righteous, and we have not just a nice theory, a nice thought, we have an ancient text that we rely on that is so profound in its intricacy and so specific and so deep and so rich and so logical that I am confident that I was thinking about this yesterday, Michael. I was watching the God Channel, and there was Andrew Womack, who preaches and teaches a level of grace that has just enough grace in it to be attractive to people. And I was thinking to myself, here's a very intelligent man, and Michael could debate him to shame if given the opportunity, because the twisting and the manipulation of the Bible and the scriptures that he was engaged in, either he is so deceived himself, or he is aware of what he's doing with these ancient texts and trying to guilt people into contributing to more of this insanity. And far from trying to guilt you folks into contributing financially to something, we're saying you're free to do whatever you want to do. I mean, if we're saying that you're free to do whatever you want to do, we certainly have the legitimate, consistent right to say you're free to give to this effort if you want. And we're giving you an opportunity. We have a website for you to go to. We have a thank you gift to receive. We've got a way for you to do it easily. If you want to participate, we need your help tonight. We're asking for you to give us a call at 1-800-436-3260. If you're listening live, we know that most folks listen on the archive. Just go to gospelrevolution.com and click on donations, and then just do your best. Make a one-time gift. Make a monthly pledge and get us to that 17.5. We know that in the next week or so, we're going to be back on the radio, on the internet, to give you a good report. We want you guys to be part of that. We just got an email from Jeff and Kate in Australia that says, hello, Glenn and Mike. We would like to pledge $100 U.S. to support you in preaching the wonderful gospel of grace and peace that has blessed us so much. We could wish we could have been with you in Texas, but we're going to be there next time. Love you guys. That's Jeff and Kate Benham in Victorville, Australia. Yes, Australia, ladies and gentlemen, coming in on the fall pledge drive. So that takes us to 4720 on our way to 17.5. Get on the line, 1-800-436-3260. Or if you're listening on the archive or you just want to email us, just email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com, and for gifts of $100 or more, whether they be in one-time gifts or in total monthly pledging, you will be receiving from us the profound teaching CD. This is Michael at his best in Houston at the convention, freed from your own faith. You are freed from your own faith. You just haven't realized it to the extent that you need to realize it, and this CD will help save your very soul. It will help renew your mind and be the cleansing of your heart that you need daily. I mean, I was talking to Abraham Mackey. He was talking about how he and his wife Mary listen to Michael's teachings every single day. And there's so many people out there that can say, I relate to that. I understand, because I did that for a length of time. I did that for a period of my life. I talk to Michael many times a week on the telephone, folks. We do this webcast every week for at least a half an hour, tonight 90 minutes, and I still listen to the CDs. Why? Because it feeds my soul, it cleanses my heart, it renews my mind. It does exactly what the Bible says it'll do. It saves me, and I like being saved. I like feeling good about me and other people and the rest of humanity. I like being reminded that God's not torqued off at me anymore. I like being reminded that when I breathe my last breath on this planet that I'll be translated into whatever eternal peace and rest with God is. That makes me feel better. I have a better day. This is what this effort's all about. Give us a call right now, 1-800-436-3260. It's a little after the top of the hour. We've got about 30 minutes left. And online with us, the aforementioned Stockton, California Gospel Revolution correspondent, Mr. Abraham Mackey. Abraham!
Hey, good evening, gentlemen.
How are you?
I am wonderful.
I'll bet that it would not be an exaggeration to say that you're better than you were when you first called and you've been listening for the last 10 or 15 minutes to all this good stuff.
Yeah, that's the effect it has on you. It's like the Spirit of God just takes things and opens channels up in your thinking and just stabilizes the heart.
Michael, I love that. I love an open channel. I love the English channel. I love when a channel is open for smooth sailing.
Yes, and transport of goods.
Right, exactly right. The first thing I want to do is Mary and I would like to double our monthly pledge.
Yay.
Wow. And no, that's not from $5 to $10, although I know that would be good. I think we're doing 50 and we're going to make it 100, okay?
Thank you very much. That's fantastic. That is fantastic. That officially then takes us over the $6,000 mark, folks. We are going to make the $17,500. I have no doubt about it. The question is which folks are going to be participating in the successful accomplishment of that goal. Abraham and Mary Mackey stepping up to the plate for an additional $50 a month to $100 a month. And what we're asking is that everybody that has been affected the way that Abraham has and Greg and myself and Jeff and Kate Benham and so many people out there. We just got an email from Kim and Arlene Baker in Hawaii. Folks that are listening to this webcast, you know who you are, that have been positively affected by the message of God's love for all humanity. We're asking for a $10 a month contribution. If you can't do that, do whatever you can do, but $10 will get you the CD, $10 across the board pledged by all of the thousands of people that listen to this radio show and that have been positively affected by the gospel revolution. Michael, that's the lifeblood of this effort, is the consistent contributions in between pledge drives that come in through the monthly donations.
Yeah, it's exactly things just like what Abraham and Mary just did. It is the monthlies that is just it changes the financial complexion of the entire ministry for an entire year. You've got to understand, Abraham, what you just did, especially from where we are now with finances. What you and Mary just did changed the financial picture for the entire ministry for an entire year. Our whole budget just changed.
Cool.
Yes, it is cool.
Cool. You know, I was thinking that I did not know about the terrorist attacks. I've been so focused on my work all day that the first I heard about it was on this webcast. But what came to my mind is something that you wrote that's on the Gospel Revolution website. And you wrote it, Mike, I think shortly after September 11th, 2001, where you called for a spiritual rights movement.
Yes.
Where you were not asking people to, believe on Jesus right then, but to, I forget exactly how you put it, but it was like to understand that other people's beliefs, you're not going to hold your beliefs as a superior viewpoint towards other people.
Yeah.
You wrote it much better than that. But it is, any time you know, just people arguing about or shunning people because of what they believe, because they believe something different, which I've experienced.
Or if they behave in a certain way. People that make their living by doing erotic dancing, for example, or that are bartenders. People that are within the religious community will look down upon somebody for trying to earn a living to help feed their children and immediately cause separation and division between two human beings that are actually family members, that are actually part of the same human, the same God, the same Savior. And it causes such, in Hebrew, the word is suris, such pain, such anguish. And we see the results every day. The bombings in India, the attacks of 9/11, the destruction and devastation in places like Afghanistan and Iraq are as a result of people thinking that they're superior to other people and trying to impose their will on other human beings that, according to the scriptures and according to the understanding of the gospel, Michael, we have been set free. These are free human beings that should be allowed to live their lives.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, Glenn, next week, one thing I would love to do is to bring that letter that I did for a call for a spiritual rights movement. Let's bring that out and let's read that online.
Well, I'm going to it right now. As Abraham was speaking, I'm going to go to it right now. And before we do that, Abraham, I would like you to. I had the privilege of actually getting a personal call from Abraham last night, and you told me a story last night that just thrilled my heart. About how you came across an old friend of yours, or the fellow that stood up for you. You were his best man, or he was your best man at the wedding.
I was his best man. It was a big Jewish wedding in Berkeley, California. Back in way back there. And in fact, as his party to me the night before his wedding, he took me to a concert as his gift for being his best man, and the singers in that concert were Simon and Garfunkel. I mean,
how
long ago that was. But I saw him the other day, and when I became a Christian in 1974, I went to my friend, and I told him about it, and he's of Jewish descent. I mean, that was all. I always knew him as a very involved Jewish family. He was crestfallen when I said I'd become a Christian. He was just like, "Oh, why did you do that for?" And of course, over the years, I've tried to talk to him, this and that. But now I went to him and I said, "Hey, Tom. By the way, you might be interested. I don't even go to church anymore." His eyes lit up. He wanted to know what happened to him.
Wow.
And what did you say to him?
I told him that I had, well, I don't remember exactly what I said right this second, but I think I said to him, you know, "Let's go out and get a beer or something." You know, and he was like, he sat down and said, what happened? You know, it was like he felt he could talk to me in a fresh way, that like something had been broken, open between us again. I mean, I still have to follow up on it, but it was a great time.
Michael, one of the most wonderful things that once the understanding of the gospel comes into your heart is to be able to renew relationships that were split apart because of religion. And it's just,
yeah.
You know, we've experienced this so many times, and I know you folks have too. But to understand that the person that this schism was caused through religion and through legalism, that reconciliation has occurred in your heart towards them, and then to be able to express it to somebody who just either thought that you were a whack job or they just didn't understand how you could allow such a wedge to come into a relationship that was so close. It's one of the most wonderful aspects or byproducts of the gospel coming into somebody's life is to be able to reach out to somebody as Abraham did to his old friend and say, and as Greg described to about his Hindu friend, that you're as righteous as I am in God's eyes. This is how I see it. This is why I see it. And to cease to have that division existing.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist in the mind of God anyway, but not to exist in our own minds anymore. What a wonderful byproduct of the gospel.
Yeah, well, it is a it's actually a direct effect because the it is the mind of God, and it is the way, it's God's view and opinion, and that is the glory of God. Is to be able to express the glory of God is to express the view and the opinion of God, and that's the reason people walk away feeling such incredible impact in their hearts, even if they are of other religions and faiths, because they've experienced what the Bible calls the glory of God. It is a major thing. These are the stories. These are the things that are the reason that we keep doing what we're doing, is so that these encounters can keep happening, like what took place between Abraham and his old friend. I mean, that sounds like a story that needs to be told. That sounds like a good you could act that out in a good movie someplace, Abraham.
Yeah. Hey, there's one more little thought that I'd like to say before I move on and open the line up to someone else. But when you were speaking earlier, you've emphasized and taught again and again in your recordings, Mike, how that the gospel is really the record of what is already accomplished and who we are because of what is fully completed.
Yeah.
And I thought, how many times over the years did I hear in church this thing that, the Lord is coming back for a bride that is spotless and pure, and boy, there is a lot of work to do because we are really screwed up and we better do this and get this done. And, oh gosh, I often thought, man, Lord, you sure have a lot of work to do. I mean, you're never going to come back.
Yep.
I mean, that's what you're left with.
No, absolutely. And I wish that, gosh, I don't have my Bible here in front of me, but I remember reading through that, and I remembered it not even saying what we had been told it said, even the context of it. It doesn't even say that he's coming back after a church without spot and a wrinkle. And I don't remember exactly what it said that, and it doesn't mean it in that text whatsoever. And it is a basic fundamental teaching, teaching of evangelical Christianity. It's really bizarre.
Amen. Hey,
well, good to be free, and Abraham.
We'll be back in touch, and just keep the river flowing. Boy, do we even have to keep it flowing? I'm in the river flowing down with it.
Exactly. Well, I've been searching for the letter about the spiritual rights movement, and there's a lot of stuff on here, but I haven't been able to come across that yet. So stay logged on,
I'll
Abraham.
Send you the link.
Yeah, and please do. And not only thanks for participating, but just thanks for calling, and really appreciate your continued involvement.
Have a great holiday.
Love you a lot, Abraham. You and Mary.
I love you.
There's Abraham Mackey, our Stockton, California correspondent that upped his pledge. Now it's your turn at 1-800-436-3260. The line is open. Who will we hear from next? 1-800-436-3260. We got about 10 minutes left in the live webcast. If you're listening live and it's about 20 minutes after the hour, let us hear from you with your comments, with your pledges, with your donation. One time, a monthly pledge. Let's finish strong. Abraham and Mary Mackey really helped us out a lot. to increase their pledge. But a $5, $10 a month, a one-time gift of $100, a total of $100 will get you free and postage paid, the new teaching CD, the thank you CD, Freed from Your Own Faith. And here is another gift from Canada, Michael, from Rowan and Diane Raphael. Saying,
wonderful.
It says, hi, Mike. We're going to send you a check for $200, United States money, of course. And says, we'll call you soon and catch up. Hugs, Diane and Rowan Raphael from up there British Columbia way.
They put a tremendous amount of work in for years and years into helping me do the conferences there, and Diane actually did all of the tape duplication and sending out orders and all of those things. Just they really are. Ron and Diane are really a major part of the foundation of getting this gospel out to the world, and I will be forever grateful to them.
Well, you know, we've talked about this on many occasions, but the nation of Canada has been so instrumental. People all over the land north of the border. It cannot be overstated. And to this day, we talked earlier in the broadcast about Victor Brennan's contribution. Of course, Tom and Linda Wilby out there in New Brunswick. And, you know, we're going to start naming people and forget a bunch. But Howard and Amanda Wirtz that came to the convention in Houston, and so many other folks, Michael, in Canada, Alan Bernice, Ramson Woods, and so many people north of the border. For some reason, for a long time, that was the foundation of the gospel revolution, was the contribution both in finances, but also just the participation and the support of people in Canada. And the effect of the ripple effect that happened north of the border has made its way all the way down to the south of the border now. And, boy, we really appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Diane and Rowan. Much appreciated.
Yeah, thanks, guys. We love you a lot.
So we've got, like I said, a little bit of under 10 minutes left. Let us hear from you. Somebody listening live, let us finish strong. Pick up the phone and dial 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260 is the Glenn Klein Online toll-free hotline. Only about 10 minutes left to go in the fall pledge drive on our way to a goal of 17.5. With Diane and Rowan's gift, we're approaching the midway point now, right around $7,000. Well, that's not midway, is it? Now you know why I wasn't a math major, ladies and gentlemen.
Are you prophesying, Glenn?
I'm going to prophesy. I'm going to prophesy right now that we're going to meet our goal of 17.5. And as an aside, folks, when you go to the Gospel Revolution webpage, gospelrevolution.com, you're going to see a refresh page. There's all kinds of new information. There is the 20 CD series from the Gospel Revolution Convention. We were talking earlier, Michael, about Abraham and Mary just bathing in the teachings. I mean, people are not going to be able to come away from their CD players. They're going to look forward to getting back in their cars just to be at the convention, whether they were there initially or not. So much, not only your teaching, not only my sharing, not only the sharing of Carlton Pearson and Harold Lovelace, but we heard from so many people. Are you there, Michael? Yeah, Sean, I heard that cut off. I don't know if yeah, call him back. I heard that go away. We'll get Michael back on here. But folks, so many people shared on these 20 hours of teaching CDs, and you will definitely get a sense of the camaraderie and the warmth and the fellowship and the unity. You talk about the unity of faith. We don't have unity in faith towards God. We have an understanding of the unity of His faith towards us. Michael, that's the unity of faith. It's not our unity or our unanimity in viewing God all the same way. We've talked about this many times. as many people as were at the convention, there's that many more ways of viewing God. But the thing we are unanimous about, the thing we are in 100% agreement in, it is the way that God views us and all of humanity, and that makes, that's the thing that makes a difference.
Yes, and the fact of, for that fact to be, we don't even have to agree about it. It's not our agreement about it that makes it real. It's that God and Jesus agreed about it, and the Holy Spirit agreed. And that affirmation of the total completion of the Scriptures, I remember them teaching that in the Word of Faith movement about that until we all come to the unity of the faith, and that we were all supposed to become Word of Faith, you know, followers of Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland, and that that was the unity of the faith, and that we were all headed that direction. And I even in my wildest hopes, I knew that there was no way that everybody in the world was going to think like I did, and like Kenneth Copeland did, and Kenneth Hagin did. I knew that wasn't going to happen. And how in the world was the unity of the faith going to happen? But it is not the unity of our faith in God, but the unity about God's faith in us. And folks, that's what our goal is to be able to get that good news out. Not that we all believe the same thing, but that the world gets informed. God believes the same thing about all of us.
You wonder, we alluded to this earlier, but the effect that it would have, let's just pick out the Islamic world. Imagine, forget about them believing the way that we believe. What if they believed that we believed that they were not lesser in God's eyes?
Absolutely. And see, Glenn, that is my goal. And see, I have a global view of reaching the world. I want to see billboards in Hong Kong. I am so convinced that the power of the gospel is real, it doesn't need my name on it, and it doesn't even need the name of Jesus on it, that we can put billboards up in Hong Kong and in their language and tell them point blank, you are righteous and holy in the eyes of God. That is going to cause we'll put on there gospelrevolution.com because we want them to be able to find out information. Or whatever, you know, even if we've got somebody there that would, that would start a website that people would be able to relate to, that even would relate to in their own language. But here, that's the thing. I believe that the gospel is so powerful that all people need to do is hear what God's faith, what God believes about them. We don't even have to identify what we believe about God, that it's about Jesus. They will come looking for that.
Exactly. I mean, there was a sugar daddy, I don't know who it is, but that did that whole entire billboard campaign. It's just the black and white billboards that they have the quotes that are attributed to God. Very creative. Somebody wrote that check for that effort, and it's had a profound effect. You know, you're driving down the road, you see the black billboard with the white letters that say, "What part of thou shall not did you not understand?"
Yeah.
God. Don't make me come down there. God.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not the 10 suggestions. God.
Yeah.
The effect that has had on the human psyche of people driving down the road, listening to their rock and roll music, let's just say it this way, having sex as they're driving past those kind of billboards. This is the reality that people live in, folks. Can you imagine when it happens and they drive down a billboard and it says, "You are righteous and perfect right now, where you are, whatever you're doing, whatever you're thinking, God." That kind of, you talk about a spiritual rights movement, that's what this is, folks. This is akin to the civil rights movement. This is akin to the women's rights movement. This is akin to the gay rights movement, where we're saying that those movements said that all citizens in a nation should be considered equal. We're saying that all human beings that have ever lived or ever will live are equal in the sight of the creator of the universe. That's a big step. That's a whole different ball of wax. That, no matter if they live in a democracy, no matter if they live in a dictatorship, no matter if they're part of an Islamic fundamentalist regime, we're saying that they are all equal in the sight of the creator of the universe. That's a powerful understanding.
You just, you know, I, one of the things that that I would love to have a goal, you know, just one billboard in each language spoken, that we could get a billboard just someplace in a country, just one billboard in a country in every language that we can find spoken, and get that put up, you know, and whether it's billboards or on the side of a wall or whatever, you know, rent space wherever they normally see things, and let it grow from there. It'd be like planting a seed in every language, Glenn, and we could really do this. We're coming up on the next 2 years. The people have helped stabilize the ministry so well financially that we can actually start making little goals like this, which are, see, we don't have to plan to have a convention in every country of the world. We can reach in because the gospel is so powerful. All it takes is one-liners, one line of absolute truth of the gospel to pierce an entire group of people, and just simply give them a reference point as to where to get more information about that. And but it's things like this that I'm looking forward to. Because, folks, I tell you, thank you for your gifts. But your gifts have stabilized our efforts and helped us to reach out. It helped us to do the convention. But my goal is to reach the globe, to spread the gospel around the planet. We can't get CDs and conventions in every language, but we can do things. There's small things that we can do that can penetrate every culture and every language around this planet. It can be done because we are surgically going in with truth. We don't have to go in with Bible classes. Can you imagine in cultures that you know, where they're worshiping cows and all kinds of gods and in all kinds of temples, to have one place, some place that even if just a number of them see, just a few of them see, that let's say only 10 of them in the entire population see this incredible statement: you are perfect in the eyes of God and have an eternal home in heaven.
Period.
Period. And not saying you could have, you might have, but see, it is, the gospel has such great simplicity to it. Glenn, we've got to take advantage of that in using our finances to reach out with this gospel and to sow it in the hearts of people of every language on this planet. And that's what we want to do. And that's what we are stabilizing to be able to reach out and do, is to touch this entire planet. I will not stop until we have touched the entire planet with the gospel.
Well, if you're wondering where your money's going to, ladies and gentlemen, that's it right there. We have what I call in my life coaching session a BOAG, a big, outrageous, audacious goal. And of course, we need everybody's help in order to do that. So that's where your gifts are going. We are reaching out in a thank you, in an appreciative way, by sending you a CD that says you are freed from your own faith. But at the end of all of this, what we hope to look back on in the next several decades is to say that this message of God's love and freedom for the entire planet has been proclaimed in a definitive way, not unlike what has happened with the movements of Martin Luther King and Mahatma Gandhi and other leaders and movements that freed people from the shackles of bondage. There's no greater shackle than religious bondage. There's no greater shackle in a human being's heart, Michael, that says...
It's what created all these other bondages that Martin Luther King had to stand up for.
Yep.
It's, we're talking about this, the rights movement that if this had happened, Martin Luther King would have never had to stand up to do what he did, because self-righteousness is what created that entire environment. Women having to get the right to vote? You got to be kidding me. If the gospel, if the spiritual rights movement would have been the forerunner, women would never had to have stood up for that and fought the way that they had to do.
Yes. And, the, and
this...
Now, what I was going to say was the shame is it was the forerunner. It happened 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. That's where it started. And there were people that wrote it down and that commented on it and that revealed that what happened in Jerusalem was miraculously the conclusion of what the whole purpose of this nation of Israel was all about. And that it was all manifested in the person that the Western world calls Jesus Christ, whose name was Yeshua, whose earthly stepfather, if you will, was Joseph, who was a carpenter, whose mother was a teenage Jewish girl named Miriam. It already was the forerunner of the civil rights movement. It already...
And because it was diluted...
You're talking about kidding me. We had a judge in Florida today rule that a gay couple, that two men who want to reach out lovingly to two children in the foster care program of the state of Florida have the legal right to bring them into their home and to take care of them and to love them and to clothe them and to feed them and to give them shelter. We have to have a judge of the government say that these men have a right to exhibit and show love to children? We've got a lot of work to do, people. We have a lot of work to do. So get busy. Let us hear from you this week. GospelRevolution.com is the website. Abraham was true to his word, and he sent us the link to our own website on the spiritual rights movement. And I want to read just the first paragraph in closing to whet your appetite for next week. This was written just days after September 11th, 2001, the spiritual rights movement, a call to conversion. Spirituality should not be measured by who is excluded, but rather by who is included. Michael Williams, September 2001. As I have followed and listened this last week, the beginning results of this horrific tragedy are being absorbed. The focus of it all seems to redefine itself on a moment-by-moment basis. One of my observations has been that it all seems to want to make me rethink what we truly believe. And I'm going to leave you with that, folks, because it's a profound letter that Michael wrote right after the towers came down in New York City and in the wake of September 11, 2001. And here we are, Michael. It's going to be 8 years in September. And we've seen a lot of progress in a lot of ways in our society, not least of which was today when this judge did rule this. We have now elected a man of African heritage to be president of the United States. These are manifestations that walls are coming down, that barriers are being broken down, but we have so much more to do. And frankly, I'm looking forward to it. It's kind of fun.
Yes, it is, and it's amazing that we can do it from our heart without feeling a liability before God to do it. You do it because you want to. And everyone that's listening, contribute because you want to. Be a part of this because you want to, not because you have to. But I'm telling you, we're taking this to the globe. And if you want to be a part of it, you are welcome. But I guarantee you, it is happening. It's already happening. It's not going to happen. It is already happening in languages that I sure can't speak around the world, and has been happening for many years. But now we are putting together an organized effort to actually accomplish this goal, and my breath will be used to accomplish this goal. And my existence on this planet has been determined, and I have made the decision that this is going to be my life's existence. This is what I want. I don't have to do it, folks. The most amazing thing that ever happened to me was to realize I didn't have to do what I was doing. I don't have to do it. And that's the reason that my heart is so committed to it, because it's not a rule. It is a gift from my heart, and it's where my heart is. And we want everyone, the only ones that we even want to give, Glenn, I don't even want anybody to give who's giving for any other purpose. If they're giving so that God will change things in their lives, please don't give your money.
Yeah.
We don't even want it. Keep it. But if you're giving because you'd like to be a part of a gospel revolution, a spiritual life movement that will spread around this planet, that we can do things like the messages that we were talking about on billboards in languages we can't speak, and just through one contact, man, just like through our folks down in Australia, how much I would love to be in contact with them. Them find out how and where we could place a billboard down in southern Australia and finance it, the ministry, gifts that come in, that we pay for that billboard and that we maintain that billboard, and that we'd have a contact person there so that we could work out the details of it and to actually get it done. This is what I want to do.
Well, we're with you, brother. So, enjoy the rest of your time on your vacation.
In
your undisclosed location. That's one thing about living this gospel, is that we get to live our passion. We get to live our purpose. Our purpose on the planet is not to procreate. Our purpose on the planet is not to be of a certain profession, no matter what we're doing. Our purpose is to get to, in any way possible, and you only can do it as you can do it, but that is to proclaim to anybody, wherever we're at, whenever we're at, that they are good to go with God and that we are one with each other. Who is going to fight against that? Who is not going to look absolutely ridiculous coming against that? And we live in a time and an age, ladies and gentlemen, where we have instantaneous communication. The tragedy that happened today, and the criminal behavior that was manifested in India, we knew about instantly, and it had an effect and on your emotion. If you want to see what the information that you absorb in your heart, the effect that it has, turn off the news for a week and see what a better mood you're in after 7 days. I know this because I have been a news junkie, and there is no doubt that when I've been too busy to watch the news, and like at the convention, Michael, when we were just literally immersed in the gospel for 24 hours a day and then we went to sleep for part of that 24 hours, the effect of not being watching CNN and Fox News and MSNBC and keeping track with all the tragedy and the divisiveness that is being caused by religion all over the planet, that people do to each other and themselves, the effect of not having that impact my soul was profound. Just turn off the TV for 1 week. And contrarily, in the same way that not taking all this negative information in your heart and your soul will have on you, when you immerse yourself in the good news of the gospel, it also has a major, magnificent impact on your outlook and your ability to cope and your understanding of what our ultimate purpose on the planet is.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mikey.
Thank you, Glenn.
We'll talk
to everybody that tuned in, and for all of your gifts and the pledges for the year, our financial picture has changed forever.
Exactly. And we do want to thank Greg Ambergy and Abraham Mackey for participating, Victor Brennan and Kate and Jeff Benham from Australia, and Diane and Rowan Raphael from Canada, and everybody who's participated in this effort and continues to. We want to thank Sean O'Halloran, our producer and engineer, and Joe Klein for assisting him in studio tonight. We'll do it in 1 week's time. Stay logged on. Let us hear from you this week at gospelrevolution.com. Until that time, this is Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody!